are listening to Electronica by Veronica on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com.
Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more.
We'll be right back. It's a very specific thing that they do. I don't even care for the dissociative anesthetics like ketamine. I don't care for opium. I don't care for cocaine. I mean, I've done all these things, but they're not interesting. What's interesting is the transformation of psyche, which goes on in the presence of these indoles. And we have to educate our children. In the schools, we have to teach them about shamanism. We have to teach them about risk. You mentioned the casualties along the way. There are people among us for whom boundary dissolution is not the problem. Their boundaries are dissolving all the time, and they are not good candidates for psychedelics. They are fragile. Made fragile by the same set of traumatic forces that may have made you not fragile. But as a general rule, if you have psychic health, psychedelics are not going to harm you. And I've always felt that that people know whether they're at risk from these things. I always believed Tim Leary made this statement, but when I tried to give him credit for it, he expressed amazement and said he never said such a thing. But somebody once said, LSD is a substance which occasionally causes psychotic behavior in people who have not taken it. And I certainly found that to be true. It caused members of my family to become psychotic who had not taken it. And I'll bet you that if we could look at the number of emergency room admissions caused by LSD, most of them were people who didn't take it, but who had a coronary thrombosis when their child told them they were taking it, something like that. So we have to educate our children. We have no shamanic tradition. We don't initiate our children into sex or anything else. We need to create a neo-shamanic institution. And I see modern psychotherapy as a kind of incipient shamanism that could educate people. But as long as we tolerate the propagation of media lies, disinformation, hysteria, then we're going to have casualties. And there are also, you know, unstable personalities who simply do not follow the directions. Everything has directions. Whether you're, you know, ironing your clothes, tuning up your car, or taking psychedelics. If you don't follow the directions, whose responsibility is it if you screw up? So we have to educate our children, educate ourselves, get these things out of the closet, and make them part of the culture. That's the way to deal with sexuality. That's the way to deal with drugs.
Thank you. For Halloween, Oreo had orange filling inside. Boo. But you're going to stick with the sugar, huh, sugar cookie? Well, can I tell you something, sugar cookie? Can I tell you something? Sugar cookie, is it? Yeah, listen up, sugar. Listen, sugar. Every cookie is a sugar cookie. A cookie without sugar is a cracker. You gotta look to the Oreo people, man. That's who the sugar cookie should look up to, because the Oreo just was great and then kept getting better. Like Michael Jordan, just when you thought, oh, he's the greatest ever, he just kept getting better. Like the Oreo cookie, we were fine. We were fine with the Oreo cookie. We were like, oh, it's perfect. It's perfect. And then they added double stuff. I will never forget that day that the double stuff came out, October 11, 1982. I saw the double stuff and I said, well, what's the catch? You know what I mean? I was taught if it looks too good to be true, it's too, you know, too good to be true. And I said, well, what do I owe you? Double the stuff, same price. Well, how do you turn a profit? We don't care about money. We want to make you happy. Oh, well, you've succeeded. Oh, Oreo. Wow. And they didn't stop there. They could have stopped there with double stuff. And they put peanut butter in the middle. Peanut butter in the middle of an Oreo cookie. My God. That's cocky, though. That's arrogant. That's like they went up to Nutter Butter, put their finger in their chest, and said, we got it. Yeah, we'll take it from here, Nutter Butter. I think we know what we're doing with cookies. Yeah. We're Oreo. Maybe you've heard of us. Oh, yes, you have heard of us. Yeah, we're America's favorite. It's cute how your name rhymes, but we're going to take it from here, Nutter Butter. Then they put chocolate in the middle of an Oreo. Chocolate in the middle of an Oreo. My God. Delicious, but a little scary, isn't it? Because it's almost like, Oreo, have you been reading my diary? You know, it's been a fantasy of mine forever. You made it happen, and I thank you. My favorite thing to put my Oreos in, milk. Here's what I do I take a double stuff, and I put two of them together, essentially making it a quadruple stuff, which we'll just have to wait for, but you can do it on your own. And I dunk it right in there. And you know when it's done? When it stops bubbling. Then it's done. And when it stops bubbling, I go, ding, and I take it out and I eat it, because it's delicious.
You are listening to Electronica by Veronica on Spirit Plants Radio, broadcasting around the world at spiritplantsradio.com.
Turn on, tune in, and visit us on the web at spiritplantsradio.com for schedules, playlists, archives, and more. We'll be right back.
And I know, you know, it's not easy. People are teachers, people are this, people are that. But on the other hand, what's the payback for being chicken shit? The payback is continued repression, continued manipulation. If you don't claim the right to be able to explore your own mind, then all other rights are potentially to be taken from you. And I think, you know, there are all kinds of stories going around. Potheads can't think straight. People who use drugs don't bathe enough, so forth and so on. This is a kind of ism. It's not sexism. It's not racism. It's dopeism. And, you know, enough of that. We pay our taxes. We hold down top jobs in advertising, publishing, media, entertainment, science, software writing, so forth and so on. And we should have the same respect that is due everybody else in this society. The people who are repressing dope culture have no agenda. They have no plan. Their plan is to keep everybody in a state of semi-anesthesia until the shit hits the fan. That's the only thing they can figure out to do, because they don't know how to feed everybody. They don't know how to cure AIDS. They don't know how to depopulate these enormous cities. They don't know how to generate enough electricity for the evolving population. They have no answers. All they have are spin doctors and cosmetics and delay and disinformation. So I do not understand the passivity of people on these issues. The world is slipping through our fingers because we don't have the courage to stand up and halt it. And if we don't have the courage to stand up and halt it, we are voting with the dominators. We are voting with those processes that will make us extinct. These governments, these institutions exist to serve us. It's no big deal to throw down an institution. It's not even a big deal to hang a few dominators. Why are we so polite? Why are we so willing to go along with this shell game? It's only the entire future of the planet that's at stake. So do we want to be like the Jews in Europe who went quietly to the trains to be taken to the camps? That's the spectacle that I fear. I think we just have to say this dope thing is the biggest shuck in history. I mean, governments have always made money off dope. And whenever any particular drug became too odious for them to continue their practice, then they handed it on to some mafia and took their cut in kickbacks. And that's what's happening now. Meanwhile, psychedelics, which unite people, dissolve barriers, make us one with each other, and have never made a lot of money for anybody compared to the real drugs of commerce, heroin and cocaine and that sort of thing, these drugs are stigmatized and suppressed, and we commit our individual acts of civil disobedience in our fine homes with the front door locked, but we never can seem to reach out to each other sufficiently to create a community that says, we've had enough. We're not going along with this anymore. That's how human freedom makes progress. The Magna Carta was signed when the Dukes of England told the king to stuff it. And women got the vote when they demanded it. And black people got respect when they demanded it. And gays found a place in society when they demanded it. And when we insist, then the dialogue will begin, and not until. So I think the responsibility is on us. We can whine all we want about the helicopters overhead and the friends taken off to jail, but unless we're willing to stand up and be counted...